Listen to this podcast for an update on the roster. Hi, I'm Molly Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, September 15th here at Gillette Stadium, and Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo are kicking off this podcast with the big news of the week.
And of course, the biggest news as we bring you the Patriots roster report is the multiple transactions involving Bam Childress this week. He goes from the active roster to being released and back to the practice squad, and that's where we are. But no, we kid. Deion Branch is the big news from the last time we came to you. Deion Branch traded to the Seattle Seahawks on Monday, reportedly for a first-round draft pick. Bill Belichick said at his Monday press conference it was for a high draft pick. He wouldn't say otherwise. Were you guys surprised the way it finally came down, the way the Deion Branch saga finally ended? Was there a surprise or an element of shock to you guys?
We're never surprised, B-Lo.
Can't be surprised by much around here.
No, I think they got the best deal they could. They got a first-round draft pick. It was apparent Branch wasn't going to play for at least 10 games, so what was his worth going to be to the team?
Right. I would say if you had asked me 6 months ago or 4 months ago if I saw it coming out this way, I'd say no. I would be surprised. But the way it unfolded, it kind of reached the point where you said, I just don't really see him playing and contributing and being a Patriot anymore. And I think they got the best possible deal in the end to end up with a first-round pick for it. Although I also think it's the best possible deal for Branch. I think he ends up in a great situation where he could succeed, go to a Super Bowl, doesn't have to be the guy, has a good quarterback. So, you know, I think both fronts kind of made out in the end.
Definitely got the money. And, yeah, I mean, to me, if you put it pretty simply, he was a second-round pick. You get 4 good years out of him, including a Super Bowl MVP, and you trade him for a first-round pick. So if you are of the mindset that there was no long-term future here between Branch and the Patriots, which – as it was going on, it seemed like there wasn't much of a future, then, yeah, they certainly got a pretty solid deal out of that from the Seahawks. We'll see what the Seahawks' record is by the end of the year. It could end up being a very low first-round pick, but a first-round pick, I guess, is a first-round pick. So no Deion Branch. There was some interesting reaction to that from certain members of the team. Richard Seymour, just hours after it all happened, he was, used words such as, it's a sad day. There were a lot of hearts that were broken. I think Patrick Pass likened it to a funeral scene when Belichick brought the word to the team. And Tom Brady, of course, had his interesting comments in which he actually admitted that the Deion Branch saga affected his performance on Sunday. What do you guys make of that?
Well, see, I thought Aaron Schobel and Tequio Spikes affected his performance on Sunday.
Minor roles, maybe.
I don't know. I'm not buying all that. He got hit and hit hard quite often early on in that game, and I think that's what bothered Brady, not Deion Branch.
What could it have affected? Maybe he was speaking more about, you know, as the week went on last week in the preparations.
Maybe it bothered Matt Light and the rest of the offensive line because they were the ones that were having most of the problems blocking the Bills' defensive line, so I don't know.
See, but what I wonder about that is how much maybe Brady's preparation, if he's, you know, to take him at his word, maybe his preparation wasn't quite where it normally is, and maybe some of those blitzes were on him.
Picked up,
you know,
yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Maybe the reason, you know, like, for example, the very first play of the game we talked about extensively in the Friday press conference with Belichick, and, maybe Matt Light did what he was supposed to do and Logan Mankins did what he was supposed to do when Brady was supposed to recognize the fact that there was going to be a free rusher and get the ball out of there quicker than he did. And maybe you could make extrapolate from that perhaps the whole situation weighing on his mind throughout the week, you know, caused his preparation to not be quite at that Tom Brady level.
Let me ask you something, Paul.
I'm not saying that's the case. I'm giving a suppose.
No, I want to elaborate on your point.
I thought he was going to yell at me.
No. I was going to elaborate on, boy, Andy's right, you are grumpy.
he was talking about me earlier. He wasn't talking about Paul, he was talking about me.
Now, what you said about Brady, now, when, like, say, like, Deion Branch, like, taps his helmet or something on the side, maybe, does that, like, mean, like, he might see something, too, when he's telling Brady, I'm going to break this off quick, so maybe not having Deion Branch there and new receivers, could that have contributed to that as well?
Sure, I think that you see those kinds of things all the time, and I think they just go into the category of adjustments, site adjustments, whatever. But I think there's all kinds of little signals that the players use with each other. And I think it would stand to reason that Deion Branch is going to be a lot more comfortable doing those kinds of things. And Troy Brown would be more comfortable than a guy like Richie Caldwell or Bam Childress, who were dressed last week. And, you know, it only stands to reason, you know, you're limited a little bit with the weapons that you have.
And not only are you limited, but those guys have to make the adjustment. And Brady has to trust that they're seeing the right thing.
And that might be the most important part of it.
Step further. I think if Deion Branch says something to him in the huddle or gives him a signal, Brady goes, He knows what he's talking about. We've done this before. If Rishay Caldwell does it, Brady goes, well, considering in the third preseason game I had to tell him what route to run, maybe I don't trust what he's seeing.
Well, there are five wide receivers on the active roster right now, three of whom have never played a down in a game for the Patriots, let alone catching passes from Tom Brady. And at practices recently, including yesterday, before stretching, Tom Brady is working extensively and exclusively with Chad Jackson and Doug Gabriel on simple route running, including different signals, the hand on the stomach, the hand here, the hand there, and really working with these receivers. Clearly, they see the need to get these guys all on the same page, and it's almost like they're cramming. That was that was what I get out of it, that they're doing whatever it takes. They're cramming to get each other on the same page. There's no question, if there's only five receivers on the roster, only one of whom had caught a pass from Brady before this year, Rishay Caldwell finally has two to his ledger there, but Doug Gabriel, Chad Jackson, Jonathan Smith, they round out the wide receiver roster, and at least one or two of them are going to have to make some plays starting this Sunday.
And the guy you're talking about is Troy Brown. And
months
ago, we were wondering if Troy Brown was going to come back and play another year. Now, the biggest nightmare for the Patriots is if Troy Brown gets injured. Now you're talking about a whole different kind of situation where you don't even have Mr. Reliable there anymore. So if Troy Brown goes down, they're in bad, bad shape.
There's no question. He caught the first touchdown pass of the year. He definitely is the guy who Brady is most comfortable with, at least in terms of the wideouts. Kevin Faulk is a guy who probably had the best catch of the day, maybe of the week in the NFL with that touchdown pass, and Brady certainly has a comfort level with him. And Bill Belichick just a few minutes ago was talking about how Kevin Faulk sort of talking about his versatility and his ability to line up a wide receiver, which he probably did, I'd say, 3 to 5 times maybe last week, lining up
well,
wide.
When you only have three dressed and you
guys
gotta
like
go to
Watson,
a spread formation,
Faulk,
you're gonna get wide receivers, running backs and tight ends out there as well.
Well, let me get your guys' thoughts on this, because I feel Faulk coming out of the backfield is much more effective because he can create open space against linebackers and stuff.
I do as well.
Do you feel that? Because when he lines up at receiver, you don't know who's going to be covering him. Could be a corner.
And he's also just not flat out fast, and
yeah,
he can't just
blow
somebody off the line. Now, maybe he can with a linebacker, but even on that play, the linebacker's with him.
Yeah,
it took
a
diving
catch.
Diving catch and a good throw to make the play. It's not like he created 5 yards of separation
in
the back of the end zone.
You know, it took a great throw and an even better catch.
Right.
And I agree with Tom's assessment that I think you have a better chance of getting him running in space against the linebacker coming out of the backfield than lining up wide. Because when you go to those five wide sets, a lot of times nowadays you have 6 and 7 defensive backs on the field. I don't necessarily love Kevin Faulk out wide, even against the other team's third or fourth corner or, you know, a third safety. I don't necessarily love that matchup the way I did with Angelo Crowell. Is it Angelo, right? Crowell?
Yeah. Which is, a lot of times they do that also, that when he ends up out wide, he starts out in the backfield. They're in like a four wide set. He's in the backfield, so a linebacker kind of gets assigned to him.
Right.
Then when he motions out, a lot of times the linebacker has to go with
him.
And it
did look like there was some confusion in Buffalo's case on that play.
If you line him out right out of the huddle, it gives the defense a better chance of setting up and putting a safety or a corner on him from the get-go. So I think that's part of him coming out of the backfield in some of those formations.
What we saw from the running back position, specifically almost a split in the number of carries between Dillon and Maroney, do you expect to see that to continue the way it's been going? That was a fairly effective
I don't expect to see it.
What do you expect
because
to see?
Because we're already in week one, and Maroney's got more carries than Dillon. I think what you saw late in the game with Dillon pounding the ball, I think over the course of the season, that's going to be his role. He's going to have a couple series early on, like Jerome Bettis, and then pound the ball at the end. But this you can't keep Maroney on the bench. He's too explosive. He's got too much big play potential. And every time he touches the ball, it looks like he's going 100 yards. So I got to give him the ball as many times as I can.
Right, and you're right. In the first Patriots series, not counting the sack and touchdown for Buffalo, but the first Patriots series, I think Dillon had the first couple of carries. Then Maroney came in. He had a 27-yard run, a 22-yard run. I'm not sure if they were back-to-back necessarily, but they were both
his first two carries of his career.
His first two carries, which was extraordinary. And for the Patriots to be able to run the ball like they did, shut down the clock in the final 6 minutes, that was mostly Dillon. I think that's true. That's probably a good way to...
I'm going to agree with everything Tom said, but I'm going to predict for this week that Dillon's going to have more carries, because I think that those end-of-the-game grinding-out carries that he had last week, it's going to be more of those this week against the Jets. It's going to be the entire second half when they're basically going to say, let's get this game over with and get home before anybody gets hurt.
I was going to say, I think there's a good chance that, and I agree with your theory, that
no,
the carries
end
up similar year long, if you can play it out that way, because
right.
yeah. if you get a fourth quarter worth of, you know, a 10-point lead where you can give
if
Dillon
they're
the ball.
If they're a good team, there's a chance that
those
carries
equate to the same that Maroney had in building the lead.
And that's the way it was last week, because Dillon got, you know, he started off like Brian said, but then, you know, Maroney had significantly more carries probably into the fourth quarter than Dillon did. In what, maybe the last 6-7 carries of the game went to Dillon.
Right. And it took him too long to get Maroney back in the game. He had 3 carries for like almost a quarter.
3 carries for 55 yards at the half, I want to say.
Yeah, and he was just sitting on the sidelines. They needed to get him in there quicker.
Right. Do you think it had anything to do with a possible injury that he had going into the game, or was that just a complete non-factor?
He didn't look hurt.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It looked like, I don't know if I missed this, but it didn't even look like he was wearing a brace.
I don't think he had a brace on. No. So I think that became a non-factor once they were into the game.
That was an oops, I think, by ESPN. What do you think?
Well, they basically said he was out for the game, right?
Yeah, but not only that you were wrong. I mean, anybody can be wrong. You know, they might have, you know, but it didn't even appear to be close.
No, he wasn't on the injury report. We all know what the injury report means. There's not much, you know.
Didn't miss a practice. Didn't miss a rep. Right. Didn't miss the game. Ran remarkably well. Like Andy said, didn't look like he had a brace on.
Right.
It didn't look like it was even close that there was ever even a question.
And I think we can turn the page on that pseudo story at this point.
Snookered by that. I kind of thought that ESPN was right about that.
Yeah. Well, just a bit on the linebackers. We'll see. Once again, Bruschi, it seemed like he practiced at least part of every day last week going into the Buffalo game. So far, we're coming to you before Friday's practice, but so far he's practiced each day this week going into the Jets game, still with a cast on his wrist. How do you feel about, you know, whether his chances of playing this week, and what do you think about the role that Junior Seau played last week?
I think they might be saving him for Denver. The Jets really don't have that effective mm-hmm. of a running game. I think yep. they can get away with Seau in there. I think they would like him to be ready by Denver, so, you know, with their rushing attack. I mean, if he's healthy, obviously he'll play, but right. if there's a question, I think they save him one more week.
And does he play? I mean, playing with the cast obviously is possible. I mean, you could do it. How affected is a player going to be by that cast? If whenever he first plays, he's wearing that cast, does that limit? I mean, is he, instead of being at 100% physically, is he only at 80% just simply because of the cast?
I would say so.
Yeah. Well, I think on some plays it's absolutely irrelevant, but then there are plays that could pop up, and if you have, you know, a tackle like Peterson had to make for the Jaguars, or a specific play in the passing game where you go, you know what, he normally picks that ball off and it bounced off his hand, then it can become a big deal. So it's somewhat situational.
I do think he's going to play this week, though.
Okay.
I think he's back.
Well, that game is coming up on Sunday at 4:15, and it's Patriots-Jets, second straight divisional game to start out the season, so we'll see how that all plays out. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. I'm Brian Lowe, along with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. We send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for an all-new Roster Report podcast. Remember to check Patriots.com for all the latest information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!